It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Did you see Kevin James was out there throwing out the first pitch last night?
That's your boy.
Yeah, oh yeah. What does he have to promote? Yeah, big meth fan. Yeah, I had an issue, for those of you who don't know. Back when I was down in the minors at WOR, when they were the home of the Mets and I was doing shows over there, I was talking with my then partner, Pete McCarthy, and it just so happened Kevin James came up, and I was like, hey, he's not a real meth fan. I really didn't mean anything by it, but I started the question as meth fan. I'm just saying, like, he's not one of us. You think Kevin James, and good for him, like, he doesn't have to, but you think Kevin James wears it when the Mets lose? You think Kevin James loses sleep over a brutal loss or the fact that the Mets coughed up the division in 2022? I don't. And that's what I was saying. Like, he's not a real fan. He shows up. He puts on the jersey when he's got something to promote. He's funny. He throws out the first pitch, takes a little BP, you know. And Kevin James got wind of that conversation. He ended up calling up the radio station and ripped into me. And he tagged it by saying, and this is my favorite part of the story. Tagged it by saying, and what do you know, if you were any good, you'd be on the Fan anyway. Well, Kevin, here we are. Many years later. How you like me now, KJ? I see you throwing out that first pitch, and I know without even knowing that Kevin James has something to promote. Zoo, do you know? Can you look into this? I guarantee you, Kevin James didn't just show up because he's like, you know what? Let's go watch the Mets take on the O's. The Mets are in a race for the wild card spot. Let me go see my Mets take on the Birds out at Citi Field. Nice night for a ball game. You know, like I did with my wife and kid on Sunday. Now, I will admit, Cadillac invited me out there, and it was nice to be sitting in the Cadillac Club. It was great, but I went. I wasn't promoting anything. I got invited, I picked out a date, took my wife and daughter because, you know, I'm a Met fan. Kevin James was probably on hand to throw out the first pitch and maybe take a little BP, I'm assuming, because he's got something to promote. Do we know, Zoo, what's going on with Kevin James?
Now, I will say this, I haven't dove deep enough into it yet to really see if there's anything he's promoting.
Yeah.
But every single article that popped up, and there's at least eight here on Google.
Yeah.
They're all talking about how last night was Kevin James and the Mets trying to recreate an apparent viral moment that he had at the Daytona 500.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know about any of that stuff, but
what are we doing with these viral moments in the Mets, bro? Why are we doing this?
I'll be fine. I'm fine with Kevin James throwing out the first pitch. Like, this is obviously not a Hawk Tua situation. I'm fine with that. I'm just saying, from Kevin James, like, you know, when I question his fandom, and he gave his, you know, merits, I've been a fan since blah, 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 and I got all these yearbooks and this and that, and that's great. You know, jerseys and memorabilia. I'm not trying to knock Kevin James, my pal, KJ. I'm just saying that he's in town, he goes to Citi Field, he's got something to promote. End of story. That's it. And then I'm the bad guy because I question Kevin James' fandom just because he doesn't wear it like us. He probably left in the third inning last night. Throttle first. Now, look, I'm not saying that I wouldn't leave either. I went to the Dwight Gooden game. I didn't even see the game. I just saw the doc number get retired. I mean, I get it. I'm not knocking him, but come on, just acknowledge it. Hey, it's been a while since we had Kevin on. I'd love to get him on. Talk to him. My pal, KJ, and his Met fandom. See what he's promoting. Speaking of which, there's a bunch of stuff coming out that I cannot wait to get into. Sandler's got a new special coming out on Netflix next week. Can't wait to watch that. Love the Sandman. He's been a favorite of mine forever. And The Sopranos, there was a teaser that I saw. Did you see this, Zoo, with David Chase, who created The Sopranos? There's like a behind-the-scenes look at David Chase and the making of The Sopranos, and they have a lot of great footage. I saw, actually, my buddy Jimmy Traina, he'll be doing the podcast, the SI Media podcast with him coming up in a little bit, later on today. But he put it on Instagram, the trailer, I guess, to this David Chase Sopranos show. Forget the name of it, otherwise I'd say it. That looks phenomenal. I think it's coming in September. Did you see the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, bro. I mean,
what is it?
It's a documentary, I believe, just kind of diving deep into how they, not how they, because I mean, we all know how they did it, but
right.
Just the making of it and everything behind the scenes. And I also know that the two kids, or at least one of them, has had a podcast now.
What do you mean?
The actors.
Who played AJ and Matt? Are you talking about?
They both have a podcast now where they're like diving through all of their experiences on the set. And
interesting.
Whatnot,
and
which has been fun.
And I know that there was... Big P and I think Chris Moltisanti, want to say. What the hell is his name in real life?
It was...
What is his name in real life? Why am I forgetting it? Who played Chrissy?
He's in...
Imperioli.
Michael Imperioli.
Yeah, and the guy who played Big, you know what? I think that they had a podcast.
They did.
If I'm not mistaken. Did you ever listen to that?
I did.
And?
It was really good. They actually, I remember...
Still going or no?
It is not. They did the whole show and then wrapped.
Oh, like, okay. I like that better because then it at least gives me an end. I don't want to commit to something that I'm going to have to listen to at least once a week for the rest of my life. I want an ending to it.
That's the difference between the Meadow and AJ podcast is they're not going through the show episodically.
Right, but they'll talk about it sporadically.
They're talking about just experiences or they'll bring on a guest and then they're talking about experiences they had together on set. Nothing that's like... they're not going episode one. All right. Oh, wow. Remember this scene.
I'm looking forward to the David Chase, whatever it is, documentary, behind the scenes look at it on HBO about The Sopranos. I can't get enough of it. Matter of fact, I just by accident, I think I just drew on my hat by accident. I just kind of stumbled into rewatching The Sopranos a couple of weeks ago. I was looking for some background noise. I threw it on. And the next thing you know, I'm into season two already.
Bro,
show, and it's got to be the best show in the history of television. At least for me, it's the best show that I've ever seen. And you watch it now, even now, like although certain things in it are dated, you don't even feel that. And also in comparison to the stuff that they put on TV now, it just blows it away. It's not even close.
Yeah, I mean, there's good shows that are around, the shows that are, doing what they do. Like Shogun's actually a dope show, but the problem I have with shows that these shows never had back in the 2000s is that when you get a good season, you're like, oh, this is awesome. At the end of it, you look online, you're like, okay, when are we getting the next one? Because they're 10 episodes or whatever,
they come out
sporadically. It's like 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, what? I don't care anymore after two
years. Right.
Like there's been seven other shows.
I don't remember the difference the space in between seasons with The Sopranos, but I'm pretty sure it was every year they would have a new season. And obviously, you used to have to wait every week. Yeah, things have changed. All right, BT and Sal on the fan, but I'm looking forward to both those things. BT and Sal on the fan. BT will be in the booth tonight filling in for Susan Waldman, who's under the weather, and tomorrow as well will be there filling in with Justin Shackle. That's why it's just me solo today. 888-808-1019. Steve is in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how you doing? Love the show, man.
Thank you, Steve. How are you?
I got a question for you about the psychology of the New York Yankees as Trent Grisham tried to score last night around third, and he so clearly, he hesitated. Mm-hmm. Is he looking for the coach? Like, that play, I think, is the game, and I think it's the symbol of this team in general, and I'd like your thoughts on that. Because he should have scored. I think a gamer scores that run and doesn't stop running.
He who
hesitates
is lost. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, Steve. He's in the game for one reason. You're a pinch runner. You've got one job. By the way, Grisham was also, he's going to be a great defensive player. He's going to be an excellent fourth outfielder. Grisham's been horrible this year. I mean, Trent Grisham has been awful with the bat. He hasn't even been good defensively. He's supposed to be a great defensive center fielder. Hasn't been good defensively. Bad on the base paths. You're a pinch runner in that spot for a reason. They trust you on the base paths to score. That's why he's in the game. And yet, he's looking down. He's hesitant. He's got his head up his rear end like too many Yankees do. And he doesn't score. He gets thrown out at home. I'm not blaming Luis Rojas on that. I'm blaming Grisham. Rojas to me was pretty clear. I mean, your base runner, it's going to be tight at that point. There is no clear. Like, he's not going to hold up a stop sign, a literal stop sign, to let you know you got to look at his arms. and Rojas waved him in. There can't be any slowing down. Let's go. Let's go. Wake up. You're in the game to be a pinch runner. Grisham's been asleep at the wheel the entire year. And lollygagging balls in center field, you know, even a base hit out to center field. He just doesn't have his glove down, goes at it lazily. I don't know what Trent Grisham is thinking this year, but it's not baseball. You could tell when you watch players if their head's in the game or not. His is not, and it feels like it hasn't been all year long. I'm not trying to speculate and play psychologist here, but the results are what they are. He's been horrible. He should at the very least be a pinch runner and defensive replacement extraordinaire. It's been terrible. Eli is in East Meadow, New York. What's up, EJ? I'm sorry. EJ is in East Meadow. What's up, EJ?
Sal, I love you, man. You're such a hater, though. I do gotta say, you're such a hater. A Mets hater, because I'm a Mets fan, too. So real quick, on the Kevin James thing, because I was there with my wife, Section 128, Row 5. The Kevin James, they were doing King of Queens is moving to Cozy TV, and he's got a stand-up show, so you were 100% right there.
EJ.
You were 100%
you go.
Right.
Okay.
Yep, you were
always
right.
Always something to promote.
Right.
Yep, there you go. Okay. Not surprised.
But Nimmo, real quick, on the Nimmo thing, because I don't want to throw shade on Nimmo, right? He caught the ball, he slammed into the wall, the ball comes out, hits the wall, and then he still catches it. Obviously, me and you, I know you said you'd have made that play. I wouldn't have made that
play.
I'm not
talking about that one. I'm talking about the one where he dove for in left field. Did you say to the end of the game?
Oh, yeah. Okay, my bad. I thought you meant the first one.
No.
Listen, he's playing. I mean, we got to give him a little credit. He's been consistent. He's playing hurt. You know, considering what he just came back through real fast. He also moved over for Bader. Like, I don't know. We can't throw shade at Nimmo. You know what I'm saying?
Like, no, I don't, because here's the reality, EJ. And I do like Nimmo as a player. I like him as a leader. I like his attitude. I like his character. Yeah. I don't ever think...
He's real good.
Yeah, I never thought he was a good defensive player, but he proved me wrong because he played...
He's got no arm.
Well, right. He's got no arm, and he's not a real center fielder. However, he played a serviceable center field, so I like him better in the corner, but he butchered a play last night that's a routine play that a decent major leaguer...
I agree with that.
Okay,
I completely thought you meant the first one.
No, I meant that late one. But beyond that, my biggest issue with Nimmo, he's hitting 230. Like, how could that... So what are we supposed to forgive that?
So let me ask you this. Do you think maybe a little bit of the idea that, hey, you got to move over because Harrison Bader is here?
No.
How about the switch in the order?
No, I don't think that that's it either, because they only just started moving him, EJ, and thank you for the call. And by the way, I'm not a hater. I'm a realtor. Oh, wait, no, I'm not a realtor either, because that's like an actual thing. I'm a realist. Thank you, Dove. A realist who clearly lacks knowledge for the English language. I'm a realist. I'm not trying to pick on Nimmo. I said I like Nimmo, but the reality is, and no, I don't think any of those things are a factor. You want to say that he's hurt or banged up? Remember, since he had that scary fall where he passed out in the hotel room, you know, a couple of months ago, a caller called last week or a few weeks ago with BT and I and explained that maybe that was the start of his downfall offensively. You want to say that he's not 100% healthy? Okay, I would buy that. I would almost... Not prefer that, because I don't want to see him be hurt, but at least it gives you a reason to why he struggled offensively, why he's fallen off a cliff. But Brandon Nimmo is 31 years of age. I mean, how many years? And the Mets gave him a long contract, so he got paid. And he got paid because he was projected to take his game to another level. And I'm just watching this game here for a second. I got to interrupt myself. Lindor, did he just get a base hit and went nuts with that slap celebration that the Mets do? I mean, maybe he's trying to pick up their energy. I don't know what's going on, but that was, and I love Lindor. I don't know what the hell happened there. Maybe he just was fortunate to get on. All I saw was a celebration. Let me know what happened there, Zoo, if you can. But Lindor's on first with nobody out in the bottom of the first for Vientos. Anyway, we saw like Winker the other day go nuts with that celebration, trying to get the teammates fired up. Maybe that's what Lindor's doing, day game after a late night game, trying to get the team fired up here, trying to win the series before hitting the road. Who knows? But it was a noticeably demonstrative celebration right there after reaching first base. Anyway, back to Nimmo. He's been, Nimmo was paid because he was projected to do more. He was projected to take his game to another level. Forget the injury-riddled years. I'm going to leave out 2019. I'm not going to go over the history of Brandon Nimmo. Let's start from the post-pandemic year. 2021, Nimmo was hurt. He played 92 games, but hit 292. 292, 8 homers, 28 ribbies, an on-base of .400, and an OPS of .838. Okay? And his OPS generally in his career has been pretty good. I'm going to start from 2021. Year 28, and you're starting to figure out, right, maybe this is what Nimmo's going to be. He was banged up. Following season, his walk year, 2022, plays the full season, 151 games. He's 29 years of age. He leads the league in triples. He hits .274, 16 homers, so a little pop in there, 64 ribbies, not enough, OPS of .800. All right, so now they pay him, and they pay him based on projecting that he's going to go from that baseline of .274, 16 homers, .400 on base, .800 OPS. His on base that year was not .400, .367. But he's going to go from that and then expand on that, make himself a more either powerful player, the on base, whatever you want to say. But they thought, they paid him projecting that he was going to get better from there. That was 2022. So in 2023, guess what? He got better, at least with the power numbers. 24 home runs, career high. Still played 152 games, which is good. Two straight years where he stayed healthy. 24 home runs, similar ribbies. He only had 4 more RBI, even with the additional power. But still, you could blame that on the team last year, down year. 24 homers for Nimmo, good sign. Consistent batting average, same thing. Basically, his numbers almost across the board, very consistent with Nimmo. At least the numbers that you would say can be based solely on the individual. Runs scored has something to do with your team. Ribbies could have something to do with your team as well. But the other stuff, consistent. On base, 4-point difference. He hit .367 on base the year before, .363 2023. OPS, similar. It was a little bit higher, as a matter of fact, in 2023. So there was the foundation, not to bore you with the numbers, as just read the stats of a baseball reference, but the foundation was set for what Nimmo was supposed to be. This year, he was looking like he was going to even take that further. Take those 24 home runs and build on that. Take that .274 average and build on that. Take that .829 OPS and build on that. And he was for a while, and then he fell off a cliff. And now you look at it, the average is down almost 50 points. He's hitting 50 points lower than what he's hit the last couple of years. That deserves some criticism. The on base is 20 points lower. That deserves some criticism. The OPS is now, almost, it was .829 last year, as I do the quick math here. It's 70 points lower than what it was a year ago. Those are problems. Now, he's still got a month to go here, but those are problems. Joe in Brooklyn, real quick. What was up with that Lindor celebration, Joe?
Sal, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Joe. Hey, we appreciate making it. Yeah.
I just want to touch base with this celebration thing. You know, call me, get off my lawn. But they were losing the game, what, 7-1 last night? And you speak about Lindor, he gets a base hit, he's doing it. It's like, could you just play the game? What do you celebrate? You got a base hit, you're down by 6 runs. I mean,
yeah,
it's look, that to me. I'm tired of it. I'm just play the game.
But that's what they do.
That's all I wanted to say.
I got you, Joe, and thank you for the call. We appreciate taking the time to check in. That's what they do. Also, it's been a big part of this team's success, the energy, the chemistry, the fun that they've been having. So I'm not going to get on them. The only reason why I even brought it up is because it was a demonstrative celebration. It is the bottom of the first inning. He reached first base. How did he even get on? Do we know that yet, Zoo? You have it, or Dove? You guys?
He beat out a ground ball.
A regular ground ball? Like he hit a routine ground ball? It was an infield single.
Infield single.
But I'm saying, was it just a routine ground ball?
It was a close play, and he was happy
okay.
He made it.
Okay, well, there you go. That makes a little more sense. But did you see the demonstrative celebration? Like, you hit a home run, he's not going to celebrate that way. But he was that pumped up to beat out a routine ground. All right, I respect the hustle. But if you watch it back, it was, a bit extreme for the bottom of the first inning leadoff getting on base. But whatever. I mean, it's been a big part of their energy and success this year.
I got to say, bro, That's the type of celebration that makes you think Lindor was checking out Twitter last night and might have seen what the O's were saying about the Mets.
Yeah, I can't get caught up in that zoo, the nonsense with the Orioles social media account tweets. I hope the Mets aren't caught up in that either. Nimmo, what does he do here? Grounds out weakly to shortstop. There you go. Brandon Nimmo fittingly will send us to break as he grounds out to short with Lindor stalled at first base. Even after that fiery celebration, demonstrative celebration, after reaching via the infield single to get things started, the Mets go quietly in the bottom half of the first, scoreless in the rubber game out at Citi Field. We'll come back, continue with the calls. I do want to get to one football note on Aaron Rodgers, but we'll get your Yankee calls and Met calls in on the other side.
When this happens,
for those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And you talked about it on The Fan.
Far back to pass, takes a deep drop, steps up, looking to his right, and the pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Intercepted by the Giants. Corey Webster got the pick, and he's tackled at the Packers 34.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
So as you know, we talked about it on the show last night. I was at the stadium. Had an awesome time. It was WFAN Appreciation Night. And yes, by the way, Sal, I did hear your name. They did say BT and Sal. So
okay.
They took care of business. We made sure that was in the copy.
Because the video I saw, I did not hear my name. I heard co-host Brandon Tierney.
Well, maybe they didn't see your name. Yeah. No, they definitely did. There's a couple of videos floating around. So I was out there, got out there early, and was on the field, which was awesome. And as you know, there were 15,000 T-shirts out there for John and Susan. Mm-hmm. John was back in the booth. He sounded amazing, as always, with the golden pipes. And I was hanging out with my friends at Verizon, and we were on the field. So what I found out shortly thereafter is that Yankees presented me with this amazing, humbling opportunity. And I know that Susan's a bit under the weather. And I'm getting to do the Yankee game tonight with Justin Shackle, and tomorrow as well. So I'm pumped, dude.
Wow. Congratulations, man. I'm happy for you. There you have it. BT, he's not with us today because he's prepping to be in the booth with Justin Shackle tonight, filling in for Susan, who's under the weather. So BT will have that great opportunity tonight and tomorrow. Can't wait to listen to it. I'm sure he's going to be fine in the booth, doing a good job analyzing the Yanks, who have obviously, you know, losers of three straight here. Last night, another tough one for them. They've been, as we said before, had Zoo look it up since June 1st. The Yankees have the 18th best record in baseball. That is an extended period. So this is not, you know, just some rough patch stretch for the Yankees. It's been the majority of the season now. The majority, when we talk about since June 1st, that is now the majority of the season. June, July, August, as opposed to what they did in April or May. The majority of the season, the Yankees have been a team that has played to one game under 500. Now, the best thing that you could say about the Yankees is, well, nobody else is that good either. However, from June 1st on, you have the Padres, the Diamondbacks, the Astros, no particular order. I think it's actually the Diamondbacks first, then the Astros. Those teams have been the best teams in Major League Baseball, and they've been playing like that for an extended stretch more recently. So that's where you'd have some flaws. All right, let's get back to the phones here. 888-808-1019. Vinny is on Staten Island. What's up, Vinny?
Good afternoon, BT. Sal, how you doing?
Good, Vinny. What's on your mind, buddy? No, you're good. What's up?
Not much. I'll be disappointed if the Yankees don't win the World Series, but I'll be more disappointed knowing that. Remember in the beginning of the year, all this talk about Soto resigning?
Yeah.
And Hal was like, I don't want the payroll to go even more. Well, guess what, Hal? You have to. Because if you guys don't win the World Series and you don't bring back Juan Soto, and you got guys like Max Fried and Corbin Burns out there, how are we going to add to the payroll without going over? Like, that to me, like, these are the final months that you have to understand, do some evaluations, but also you have to realize, okay, what can I subtract? What can I add? How can I do this? How can I do that? Because if you don't win the World Series, you're going to need to add. And if you don't have the farm system, like, yeah, you were willing to give up Spencer Jones, but nobody looked at your farm system as a top five farm system. So if you're not going to add through free agency, and you can't add through trades because they're going to ask for everybody starting with Dominguez, Jones, Hampton, what are you going to do?
But that's been the common theme, Vinny, for this team. You know, think about it. They traded for Juan Soto, and thank you for the call. We appreciate you taking the time to check in. They traded for Juan Soto. They also could have had Corbin Burns. That would have been all in. Really, if the Yankees were all in, and this is what the old school Yankees would have done, they would have traded for Juan Soto. Okay, check. Well, they did that. They would have then traded Spencer Jones, because why do you need another outfielder? You just signed Juan Soto, and you're going to plan on extending him. You're not going to lose him in free agency at Walker because you're the Yankees. You're going to have the highest offer, and that's who he's going to take. But we don't know that. Anyway, they get Juan Soto. They should have then traded Spencer Jones for Corbin Burns. They could have done that. They didn't. That move was available. The Yankees could have traded Spencer Jones for Corbin Burns. They turned it down. Mistake number one. They also could have had Blake Snell. Now, some will say, well, look at Blake Snell. He struggled. Yeah, well, look at him now. As it's going into the postseason, Blake Snell, you can't score a run off the guy. But whatever. I didn't think Blake Snell was great at the time, so I can't even second guess him for that. But point is, they could have had either Corbin Burns via trade or Blake Snell via free agency. They neglected to spend the money or spend the prospects on going further all in. Those are things the Yankees could have done, and they did not do. Oh, and by the way, at the deadline, they could have done more as well. And they chose not to. I mean, the Yankees had opportunities to make big moves, and they just didn't do enough. And this has been the same pattern for years. They also, the thing that I would have done in the offseason, I would have traded for Soto, and if you're going to do that, I would have traded Jones for Burns, and then I would have signed Josh Hader. Now, and look, you could also say, well, Hader hasn't been as dominant as he once was, but I would have added, and I remember coming off a year where they missed the postseason, I would have, me, Sal Licata, would have added Juan Soto, which Cashman did. I would have traded Jones for Corbin Burns, so I would have added the best position player, the best starting pitcher on the market in Corbin Burns, and I would have signed the best reliever available in Josh Hader. Now, does that mean that the Yankees would have won a World Series? No, doesn't guarantee anything, but that would have been all in. And it could have happened. So why didn't it happen? It didn't happen because the Yankees didn't want to spend the money on Hader. And then again, they didn't want to spend the prospects on a top reliever at the trade deadline. And the Yankees didn't want to spend the prospect in Spencer Jones on Corbin Burns or the money on Blake Snell. Now, back to your original point, Hal keeps talking about luxury tax threshold, but also wanting to sign Juan Soto. Whether or not they win the World Series, to me, is irrelevant. It'd be great to win the World Series, and obviously you win the World Series. But does that mean you're going to be okay sucking for the next 5 to 10 years? Maybe. Maybe then it matters a little bit less because you already have the World Series, so there's more wiggle room. So you could deal with Soto walking or maybe not going as all in as you'd want. Let's say they bring Soto back but can't build a further team. But let's say they don't win the World Series, and they want to bring Soto back, obviously, and they do bring Soto back. How are they going to build a team? Because their team, clearly, with Soto and Judge, like, I would argue, and this is just based on law of averages and trying to be realistic, as each player gets a year older, now Soto's still in the prime of his career, early prime of his career, 25 years of age, which makes him so special and why he's going to get so much money. But Judge, big body, getting older, he's been hurt in his career, stayed healthy this year, obviously, which is great, but I would venture to say that you're never going to get a year where both Soto and Judge perform together at this type level, the way that you have this year. That's all-encompassing, meaning statistically, meaning being able to stay on the field, all of the above. You know how hard it is to do what those two guys are doing this year? I'm not saying they can't do it moving forward, but odds are it's going to get more difficult, specifically for Judge as he gets older. And just things go wrong sometimes. Bad luck sometimes gets in the way. Soto's having a career year in his walk year. Judge is he could win the Triple Crown. But another year older, you're running the chance of injury, on running the chance of poor performance. This may be the best that we ever see Juan Soto and Aaron Judge together. And even with that, the Yankees, since June 1st, have the 18th best record in Major League Baseball. It's just not good enough. So then the point is, if they don't win the World Series, well, how the hell are they going to build around just these two guys if they're not going to be willing to part with the prospects or spend the money? You got to do either or, and they've done neither, which is why we're here yet again, talking about the Yankees just not being good enough. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll finish up with your calls on the other side. I promise I'm going to get to an Aaron Rodgers and Jets note when we come back, in addition to your calls on both the Mets and Yanks. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. BT off. Well, he'll be in action just tonight during the game. So he's filling in for Susan, who's under the weather tonight and tomorrow. BT will be in the booth, the Yankee booth, with Justin Shackle for Yanks Guardian. So stay tuned for that. Looking forward to listening to BT and then be back together on Friday to close out the week before we head away for vacation, the final week of the summer. And then we'll return the day after Labor Day, ready for some football and for some playoff baseball. So cannot wait for that. Speaking of the football, I'm all in to Aaron Rodgers right now. First of all, Ian O'Connor's book has been tremendous. I'm about, I'd say, 90 pages in so far, and I'm listening to it. I'm kind of like half listening to it, half reading it, but mostly listening to it. And it's weird, but I keep up with where I'm at with the Audible version of it and then the hard copy of it as well. But anyway, it's a fantastic book and gives you tremendous insight. And I'm still in the Cal years for Aaron Rodgers, but clearly Rodgers, a chip on his shoulder his entire life, you know, going to JUCO and all those different things, and, you know, always having to prove people wrong and wanting to be the best. And it got me thinking that maybe at, because he's never lacked confidence, obviously, but there were some points at Cal where he was hitting a little maybe doubt and had to be reminded of his potential by some of his coaches and all that. I wonder now if at age 40, for a kid who has succeeded, or for a guy who has succeeded at every level, dating back to when he was a kid and exceeding all expectations, getting to the NFL, coming out of the shadow of Brett Favre, winning a Super Bowl, winning multiple MVPs, you know, it's hard to lose confidence, but this is going to be something new for Aaron Rodgers, because he is 40 years of age, because he is coming off a significant injury, losing the entire season last year outside of the first four snaps, and it's in New York. So I'm not saying that Rodgers is going to lack confidence, but I wonder if there is going to be a little bit of doubt, not knowing what he's fully capable of at this age, off of that injury, in this town. I mean, it would only be normal. Now, I believe in Rodgers. I can't wait to watch him. I'll be rooting like hell for him. I really want to see him succeed, and the Jets succeed as a byproduct of that. But, I mean, there has to be some kind of, well, I'm not, you know, 30 anymore. He's 40 years old. And I think it's cool that, and a good thing, that Saleh said, or that Rodgers said that Saleh has made this the most grueling training camp that he's had in 7, 8 years, maybe ever. And he likes it, getting himself ready for the regular season at his age. This has been a tough camp. It's good to hear that Saleh's running a tough camp for the Jets to get them ready for the regular season. Those are good things. I like to hear that. Now they just got to stay healthy, go out there, and then prove it. But I'm all in a Rodgers. If you get it, if you're intrigued at all by Aaron Rodgers, I don't know how you can't be. You got to check out this book, whether it's the Audible version or the hard copy. Rodgers, to me, is as fascinating an individual as there is. And even the stuff that we know about him, and some of us may think it's weird or different, to me, that's what I love, that he's able to be himself with full confidence, dates back to his childhood. And you have a good understanding why. Now, I can't wait to get to the part, not only the NFL and how he got drafted and sitting behind Favre and how that went with the Packers, obviously going to the Jets, but also the family stuff. I'd be curious to see what went wrong with his family, because right now, you know, through the first 90 pages, all well with the family. No issues whatsoever. Good relationship. So that's intriguing as well. Now, does that mean anything come football season? No, but I do find it a fascinating part of the story. We'll finish up on the phones. 888-808-1019. Francisco Lindor has, in fact, homered today. Mets have a 1-0 lead. There you go. I think he had a bigger celebration when he had the infield single, but Lindor continues just his terrific season. It was an awful start, brutal start, but it's been his best year as a Met. Should have been an All-Star. Hopefully he starts better next year so he actually can be an All-Star. But Francisco Lindor has been the goods this year. Big home run, getting the Mets on the board in this. And he goes Oppo, too, as a right-handed batter. Big game for the Mets here as they look to get to hit the road after this difficult road trip, Arizona, San Diego, where the Mets trying to stay in the thick of things in the race here, losing a game on the Braves yesterday. Need to win 2 out of 3 today. Lorenzo is in Queens. What's up, Lorenzo?
Yeah, I do, Sal. Yeah, we both agree on Sopranos, but I take it you never really seen King of Queens. I've seen every episode.
No, Kevin James. Yeah, go ahead.
He's definitely a Mets fan. He's definitely a Mets fan.
Yeah,
and too many jokes, too many storylines, too many inside references for it not to be so, you know?
I get it. Look, I'm not saying he's not a Mets fan. I'm saying he's not a Mets fan like us, Lorenzo. You think Kevin James...
Yeah, but I didn't really know that. If you haven't known him since like the 80s and 90s, you know?
Well, where is he? Yeah, every time I see him at Citi Field or Shea Stadium, man, it was to promote something.
Well, you know, that's in his stage of life. He's still a Mets fan, though, for real.
I get it. No, I get it. I get it. Yes, I know. I get it. He's a Mets fan.
Yeah, but all right. And you have a great show, and enjoy the rest of your day.
That's it? That's all you want to talk about was Kevin James, and thank you for the call, Lorenzo. I'm not saying he's not a Mets fan at all. Let me ask you this. You think Kevin James watching this game right now? I don't. I mean, he's a... Like, the way that I would say it, and I even catch myself saying this sometimes, too, because I will admit, I'm not the same Mets fan that I was 25 years ago or 30 years ago. I'm 44 years old. Things happen in life, especially with the job, too. Like, it's just different. Obviously, I grew up rooting for them. I still am a Mets fan, but it's not the same as it was back in my absurd, passionate prime. So I do understand it, but I would say that my prime as a fan blows away Kevin James' prime as a fan. And even me, not being as nuts as I was 25 years ago, is still better as a fan than where he is now. And I'm not trying to say me versus him. I'm just giving an example. I can only use myself as an example. You're like, yeah, I think he roots for the Mets, sure. I don't think he's watching the Mets on a nightly basis. So then how do you describe or determine fandom? Like, me with the Falcons, yeah, I'm a Falcons fan, but I don't watch them the way that I used to anymore. So can I really be considered a fan? I used to watch every single game, every snap of every game. Now I don't. Now I'm watching more of the Jets and Giants. And just even around the league, I'll have it on. Yeah, I care what they do to a certain extent, but I'm not a huge fan the way that I used to be years ago. It happens for different reasons. So I'm not blaming him. But let's not pretend that Kevin James is sitting there scoring every pitch like Evan Roberts. Or, living and breathing and living and dying with this team night in, night out. Like, I think Jerry Seinfeld is a legitimate Mets fan. Now, is Jerry to that level? I think more so than Kevin James. Now, again, I'm just guessing. I don't know him. I'm not trying to pick on him, but that's where it comes from. Like, in comparison to us, if you work at the fan, if you listen to the fan, I grew up listening and calling, you know what it's like. You guys are out there like, we're diehard fans. You think he's that level? You think any, so like, Sandler's a Yankee fan. Yeah, okay. Like, you think he's a real Yankee? Nick Totoro is a real diehard Yankee fan. There are some that have crossed over and done both. I think my pal KJ is probably in between. I think he's, no question, he's a Mets fan and definitely was a legit Mets fan growing up, a Mets fan. I think he'll root for the team. I don't think he's watching them night in, night out the way that I would say you need to be considered a fan. Ralph is in Connecticut. What's up, Ralph? That's all.
Hey, Sal. How are you today?
What's up, Ralph?
So, Sal, I want to just say I agree 1,000% with you about Cashman not being all in. Cashman has not gone all in probably 10 or so years. Everything he does, he wants to do on the cheap. The Yankees print money, and yet they give us this crap about wanting to stay under the luxury tax. You know, listen, payroll goes up every year. That's how it is. If you want to stay with it, you got to pay it. The Yankees have no excuse why they shouldn't be paying And Cashman, I believe, is one of the main culprits. Well, why not?
Well, you either have to pay, and thank you for the call, Ralph. You either have to pay in prospects or with money. And we can give examples this offseason. Forget about, as you said, the last 10 years. I'm not going to disagree or agree with that. I don't know the exact time frame, but it's been a while. It's not just this year. But this year alone, they went, now they didn't make the postseason, which never happens for the Yankees. Then they went and got Juan Soto. And we're like, oh my God, that's so great. Yes, greatest move ever. Now what? They could have added Josh Hader. They could have traded for Corbin Burns. They didn't. The deadline, they got Jazz and Mark Leiter. They needed more. They didn't get it. That's not going all in. They've shown a reluctancy to part with either the prospects or the finances, and the results have shown they have not been to or won a World Series since 2009. All right, that does it for us. BT on the game tonight. Check him out, filling in for Susan with Justin Shackle. Thanks to everybody who called and listened. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Zoo. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 10.
And call the Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. BT off. Well, he'll be in action just tonight during the game. So he's filling in for Susan, who's under the weather tonight and tomorrow. BT will be in the booth. The Yankee booth with Justin Shackle for Yanks Guardian. So stay tuned for that. Looking forward to listening to BT and then be back together on Friday to close out the week before we head away for vacation, the final week of the summer. And then we'll return the day after Labor Day, ready for some football and for some playoff baseball. So cannot wait for that. Speaking of the football, I'm all in to Aaron Rodgers right now. First of all, Ian O'Connor's book has been tremendous. I'm about, I'd say, 90 pages in so far. And I'm listening to it. I'm kind of like half listening to it, half reading it, but mostly listening to it. And it's weird, but I keep up with where I'm at with the Audible version of it and then the hard copy of it as well. But anyway, it's a fantastic book and gives you tremendous insight. And I'm still in the Cal years for Aaron Rodgers, but clearly Rodgers, a chip on his shoulder his entire life, you know, going to JUCO and all those different things and, you know, always having to prove people wrong and wanting to be the best. And it got me thinking that maybe at, because he's never lacked confidence, obviously, but there were some points at Cal where he was hitting a little maybe doubt and had to be reminded of his potential by some of his coaches and all that. I wonder now if at age 40, for a kid who has succeeded, or for a guy who has succeeded at every level, dating back to when he was a kid and exceeding all expectations, getting to the NFL, coming out of the shadow of Brett Favre, winning a Super Bowl, winning multiple MVPs. You know, it's hard to lose confidence, but this is going to be something new for Aaron Rodgers because he is 40 years of age, because he is coming off a significant injury, losing the entire season last year outside of the first four snaps, and it's in New York. So I'm not saying that Rodgers is going to lack confidence, but I wonder if there is going to be a little bit of doubt, not knowing what he's fully capable of at this age, off of that injury, in this town. I mean, it would only be normal. Now, I believe in Rodgers. I can't wait to watch him. I'll be rooting like hell for him. I really want to see him succeed, and the Jets succeed as a byproduct of that. But, I mean, there has to be some kind of, well, I'm not, you know, 30 anymore. He's 40 years old. And I think it's cool that, and a good thing, that Saleh said, or that Rodgers said that Saleh has made this the most grueling training camp that he's had in 7, 8 years, maybe ever. And he likes it, getting himself ready for the regular season at his age. This has been a tough camp. Good to hear that Saleh's running a tough camp for the Jets to get them ready for the regular season. Those are good things. I like to hear that. Now they just got to stay healthy, go out there, and then prove it. But I'm all in a Rodgers. If you get it, if you're intrigued at all by Aaron Rodgers, then I don't know how you can't be. You got to check out this book, whether it's the Audible version or the hard copy. Rodgers to me is as fascinating an individual as there is, and even the stuff that we know about him, and some of us may think it's weird or different. To me, that's what I love, that he's able to be himself with full confidence. Dates back to his childhood. And you have a good understanding why. Now, I can't wait to get to the part, not only the NFL and how he got drafted and sitting behind Favre and how that went with the Packers, obviously going to the Jets, but also the family stuff. be curious to see what went wrong with his family, because right now, you know, through the first 90 pages, all well with the family. No issues whatsoever. Good relationship. So that's intriguing as well. Now, does that mean anything come football season? No, but I do find it a fascinating part of the story. We'll finish up on the phones. 888-808-1019. Francisco Lindor has, in fact, homered today. Mets have a 1-0 lead. There you go. I think he had a bigger celebration when he had the infield single, but Lindor continues just his terrific season. It was an awful start, brutal start, but it's been his best year as a Met. Should have been an all-star. Hopefully he starts better next year so he actually can be an all-star. But Francisco Lindor has been the goods this year. Big home run, getting the Mets on the board in this. And he goes oppo, too, as a right-handed batter. Big game for the Mets here as they look to, you know, get to hit the road after this difficult road trip. Arizona, San Diego, where, you know, the Mets trying to stay in the thick of things in the race here. Losing a game on the Braves yesterday. Need to win 2 out of 3 today. Lorenzo is in Queens. What's up, Lorenzo?
Yeah, I do, Sal. Yeah, we both agree on the Sopranos, but I take it you never really seen King of Queens. I've seen every episode.
No,
Kevin James.
Yeah, go ahead.
He's definitely a Mets fan. He's definitely a Mets fan.
Yeah,
and Jeff. Too many jokes, too many storylines, too many inside references for it not to be so, you know?
I get it. Look, I'm not saying he's not a Mets fan. I'm saying he's not a Mets fan like us, Lorenzo. You think Kevin James...
Yeah, but I didn't really know that. If you haven't known him since like the 80s and 90s, you know?
Well, where is he? Yeah, every time I see him at Citi Field or Shea Stadium, man, it was to promote something.
Well, you know, that's in his stage of life. He's still a Mets fan, though, you know, like, for real.
I get it. No, I get it. I get it. Yes, I know. I get it. He's a Mets fan.
Yeah, but... All right, and you have a great show, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Oh, that's it? That's all you want to talk about was Kevin James? And thank you for the call, Lorenzo. I'm not saying he's not a Mets fan at all. Let me ask you this. You think Kevin James watching this game right now? I don't. I mean, he's a... like, the way that I would say it, and I even catch myself saying this sometimes too, because I will admit, I'm not the same Mets fan that I was 25 years ago or 30 years ago. I'm 44 years old. Things happen in life, especially with the job too. Like it's just different. Obviously, I grew up rooting for them. I still am a Mets fan, but it's not the same as it was back in my absurd, passionate prime. So I do understand it, but I would say that my prime as a fan blows away Kevin James' prime as a fan. And even me, not being as nuts as I was 25 years ago, is still better as a fan than where he is now. And I'm not trying to say me versus him. I'm just giving an example. I can only use myself as an example. You're like, yeah, I think he roots for the Mets, sure. I don't think he's watching the Mets on a nightly basis. So then how do you describe or determine fandom? Like, me with the Falcons, yeah, I'm a Falcons fan, but I don't watch them the way that I used to anymore. So can I really be considered a fan? I used to watch every single game, every snap of every game. Now I don't. Now I'm watching more of the Jets and Giants. And just even around the league, I'll have it on. Yeah, I care what they do to a certain extent, but I'm not a huge fan the way that I used to be years ago. It happens. For different reasons. So I'm not blaming him, but let's not pretend that Kevin James is sitting there scoring every pitch like Evan Roberts. Or, you know, living and breathing and living and dying with this team night in, night out. Like, I think Jerry Seinfeld is a legitimate Mets fan. Now, is Jerry to that level? I think more so than Kevin James. Now, again, I'm just guessing. I don't know him. I'm not trying to pick on him, but that's where it comes from. Like, in comparison to us, if you work at the fan, if you listen to the fan, I grew up listening and calling, you know what it's like. You guys are out there like, we're diehard fans. You think he's that level? You think any, so like, Sandler's a Yankee fan. Yeah, okay. Like, you think he's a real Yankee? Nick Totoro is a real diehard Yankee fan. There are some that have crossed over and done both. I think my pal KJ is probably in between. I think he's, no question, he's a Mets fan and definitely was a legit Mets fan growing up, a Mets fan. I think he'll root for the team. I don't think he's watching them night in, night out the way that I would say you need to be considered a fan. Ralph is in Connecticut. What's up, Ralph? That's all.
Hey, Sal. How are you today?
What's up, Ralph?
So, Sal, I want to just say I agree 1,000% with you about Cashman not being all in. Cashman has not gone all in probably 10 or so years.
everything he does, he wants to do on the cheap. The Yankees print money, and yet they give us this crap about wanting to stay under the luxury tax. You know, listen, payroll goes up every year. That's how it is. If you want to stay with it, you got to pay it. The Yankees have no excuse why they shouldn't be paying, and Cashman, I believe, is one of the main culprits. Well, why not?
Well, you either have to pay, and thank you for the call, Ralph. You either have to pay in prospects or with money. And we can give examples this offseason. Forget about, as you said, the last 10 years. I'm not going to disagree or agree with that. I don't know the exact time frame, but it's been a while. It's not just this year. But this year alone, they went. Now, they didn't make the postseason, which never happens for the Yankees. Then they went and got Juan Soto. And we're like, oh, my God, that's so great. Yes, greatest move ever. Now what? They could have added Josh Hader. They could have traded for Corbin Burns. They didn't. The deadline, they got Jazz and Mark Leiter. They needed more. They didn't get it. That's not going all in. They've shown a reluctancy to part with either the prospects or the finances, and the results have shown they have not been to or won a World Series since 2009. All right, that does it for us. BT on the game tonight. Check him out. Filling in for Susan with Justin Shackle. Thanks to everybody who called and listened. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Zoo. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 10.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.